Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings Radio. I'm Michelle Mache. Welcome to everyone listening via the chat room, or as it's also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. And hello to everyone listening via iTunes and, of course, the archives. It's always great to connect with everyone. And lest I forget Cosmic Dimensions, hello Richard Footed and all the Cosmic Dimension radio listeners. Those of you that don't know, that's a wonderful music station that also airs Awakenings Radio. And, of course, we air on a lot of rebroadcasts through the podcast stations as well. If you have a question or a comment or you'd like a reading, the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you want to get on air. So that lets me know that you want to get in the queue. Lots going on today. We have a great guest coming on. Jonathan Goldman, healingsounds.com, for those of you that want to put a visual to the voice when our guest comes on at 12:45, 12:50, depending if we have readings or what's going on or how long our talk goes. That's Jonathan Goldman, healingsounds.com, and he's going to be talking about sound healing. He's a pioneer in the field of harmonics. And he's also the author of Healing Sound, Shifting Frequencies, The Lost Chord, one of the bestsellers, The Secret Sounds of Sound Healing, Chakra Frequencies. So I look forward to connecting with him and sharing his information and insight as well. I also want to really, really thank those people that listen to the archives on iTunes, the podcast that left comments, some wonderful appreciation comments. So all of you, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And it's nice to get that wonderful appreciation feedback, and also things that you feel like topics, you know, that you want to hear, guests that you suggest. We really do listen. The producers really do listen. And you can always email us at awakenings@selfinlight.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And you can email us with your suggestions. Got a really great producer. She really is diligent. She really listens. And we see if it's a fit. And sometimes we are booked up quite a few, you know, 2-3 months, sometimes even 4 months in advance, so that if you don't see your guest suggestion or your topic, it could be that we just, you know, have other people kind of in the queue, if you will, that we have set up. But also, those that are leaving the appreciation comments on iTunes, it really also helps with the search engine bumping up not only within iTunes but within Google. So that's greatly appreciated. And I also want to welcome a lot of the new listeners. We have a lot of new listeners, and we have a lot of new Facebook likes. So I want to say hi to everyone that's been liking the Awakenings Radio on Facebook. And you can comment there. You know, you can, you know, put what's going on for you. You know, maybe you're part of the Awakenings Radio community. Maybe you have some insight, some information you want to share. Some insight about your path of awakening, or maybe you know of a interesting book or something that's helped you, go ahead and post it there. That's what it's for. It's not just for what I post or our producer posts. Sadie Davenport. It's for everyone. Or Monopoly, I see you in the chat room. You've got some concert dates coming up. Go ahead, you know, and post that as well. We have such a diverse group of individuals that listen to Awakenings Radio and from all over the world. So you never know who you're going to touch. You know, I get emails back, and I try to share them with everyone, but I do get emails of people saying, oh, I really related to what that guest said, or that caller. You know, I really relate to what that, you know, caller said, or that helped me so much, or that picture, that post, you know, that was put on Facebook or that you tweeted really, really helped me, you know. So you just, you know, we're the Awakenings community, because there are so many areas of awakening. It's consciousness, but consciousness in a multi-form. So, you know, we've got political leaders, educational leaders, teachers, students, metaphysicians, astrologers, people involved in science, people that, you know, a mother or father that's just focused on raising their child better, you know, about being a better parent. So, you know, of course, we've had people on, you know, in regards to parenting. We had Lori Bregman from Rooted for Life on, you know, health, fitness, so meditation. Today we have somebody with sound healing. So it really is a diverse group of individuals, and within that diversity, there is an interconnection. And that interconnection is connecting in to oneself and living the new emerging consciousness. And it's not going to help, or it's not going to happen by itself. I think that's one thing in the awakenings that people really need to get, is that it's not going to happen as a collective, you know, big bang and everything's there. This dimension is really about persistence, effort. You know, there are quantum leaps, there are, you know, exponential spurts, if you will. However, it happens individually, and then the individual becomes the collective. So the individual is very, very important in the awakening process and getting into the energies and of the new emerging consciousness. So without that, we don't have the collective actually awakening or ascending without individuals taking individual responsibility. I also want to thank Sheila. You emailed in that you've been listening to the show, and I was looking for milk alternatives for my decaf Americano cappuccinos. Thank you. Right now I'm drinking dandelion tea. That's my next little roasted. It's the roasted dandelion tea. I think it's by Traditional Medicinals, and that's my latest little craving addiction, and my synergy. I still love the kombucha tea drinks. But you're suggesting, Sheila, that I try hemp milk or hazelnut milk. So I'm gonna try that. One issue that I found, and maybe if any of you alternative milk companies are listening, stop making everything in such large sizes. Make some little small, some smaller sizes instead of the half gallon. Even a quart. What about a pint? And then we also had Naomi listening, and I played music, and I think I'm going to start doing that a little bit. Maybe right after the talk and the readings. We had a lot of people email, and I had a couple of Facebook messages about the music I played. So last week I did play a bit by 33 Bowls, who was to be on, and I think we got him scheduled back on. 33 Bowls, and I feel like you can go to 33bowls.com, and it's all his music is with the Tibetan or Nepalese healing bowls that have come from Tibet and Nepal, and I believe some of them are actually quite, you know, ancient. But that was one of the pieces of music that we played. And then the other one is a wonderful favorite of mine and from a wonderful healer and friend of mine, Yogini, which is Bliss. And you can even Google Yogini, or you can go on my Facebook page. She's a friend there as well. And so that was the music. And let's see. Oh, yeah, I am revamping the Daily Om course, but you can still take it. Naomi is asking. And group update, we did it, accomplished our first meeting. Sounds like everyone's very excited to continue. That's great, Naomi. Some people are starting awakenings groups, and I think that's a great idea. It's great to meet in a group sense and to share and to support each other. So perfect. So thank you, Sheila and Naomi, for your input, and thank all of you that have been leaving the wonderful appreciation comments on Awakenings Radio Facebook page, as well as on iTunes. I also want to let everyone know the end of the month, I believe it's the 23rd, yes, Saturday, February 23rd, we are having another Soul Path workshop, and you can find out information by going to Navigate the Shift, and that's the number one dot Eventbrite. .com, and that's eventbrite.com. I believe we have someone calling in. Hopefully they're going to be calling in. Let's see. This Saturday, those of you that are in the LA area, but gosh, that's everywhere, right? You could be in Palm Springs. You can be listening in Ventura County, or maybe you want to drive up from Newport Beach even, or San Diego. But this coming weekend, February 9th is GMO Free World Day of Action, and there's going to be a public rally against the FDA approval, can you believe this, of genetically engineered salmon. And it's going to be at the Santa Monica Pier. Everyone knows where that is. That's going to be this Saturday, February 9th, which is GMO Free World Day of Action. It's a public rally against the FDA approval of genetically engineered salmon, and that will be at the Santa Monica Pier. Let's see if we have Pam on the line. Pam, is this you? I've got a Skype caller. Okay. 803-231, did you have a question or a comment?
Are we doing readings?
I am. I'll get a hold right back to you. I kind of felt you had a reading, so hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, she was supposed to come on the air. Maybe she got the time mixed up. Pam Larry was supposed to call in with some information. However, it's called Aqua Advantage Salmon, and it was developed by the Massachusetts-based company Aqua Bounty Technologies. You know, I love technology, and I think as divine human beings of aspects of consciousness, as creator beings, we can create some amazing things. You know, processing, I mean, everything has its place, but I really don't think that genetically modified salmon has its place, or genetically modified foods. We just in Europe, there's a lot of research. You can even Google, you know, hard case studies on the detrimental effects of genetically modified foods. And I'm going to consider that even over processed foods. You know, I think a little something here and there, you know, potato chip or something, Pringle here and there or whatever is fine. But you don't want a steady diet of it. And definitely we don't want a diet of genetically modified foods, genetically engineered foods, genetically modified, genetically engineered seeds. I think nature has that all in a positive, life-enhancing flow. So if you do feel impassioned about this, you can go to there's labelgmos.org. That's labelgmos.org. And you can also just show up. It's 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. is the public rally, and that's going to be this weekend, Saturday, February 9th. At the Santa Monica Pier, and this is a demonstration against the genetically engineered salmon. So you know, for further information, again, you can go to labelgmos.org. Maybe we'll put something on the Awakenings radio page on Facebook as well. But wanted to let everyone know. And Pam Larry, by the way, is the grandmother who started the grassroots effort around Prop 37. She'll be speaking also to everyone. So, again, some of you are very impassioned around this. Know where your place is. If you feel a nudge, a call to this, here's a great place to start and to connect with others that are having a similar view. You know, we all can't do it all. So everyone has their place. Everyone will feel a call, if you will, in one direction or another, and some people a few directions. All right. So if you have a question or a comment or you'd like a reading, the number is 347-539-5122. Please press 1 on your keypad. That lets me know you want to be heard, you want to get on air. 347-539-5122. And sometimes some of you forget, and I just get a psychic flash that lets me know you want to be heard, you want to talk. Okay, 803-231, welcome to Awakenings.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, what's your first name, please?
Blair.
Hi, Blair.
Hi.
Hi. So,
okay.
Let's
all right,
start with...
I have a question in regards to, like, my career, because I was talking to a friend the other day, and he asked me, he's like, well, what do you do? And I was just like, I didn't have an answer. I was like, what do I do? I was like, well, right now I'm just going with the flow, like, so.
I like that.
That's all I can really tell him, because I guess I'm still trying to figure out, like, what I'm supposed to be doing career-wise.
Okay. Well, you know, your career can change. I don't know if a dear friend of mine, Jen, are you listening? I if you look at my business cards when I've started, I have done so many things, and I'm finally just simplifying, and thank God for websites. I just say, tell people, when they ask me, what do? I say, well, just Google me. Just Google it. Go to my website or just look Google and make your own. You know, Blair, years ago I did a I was part of, actually, this is funny because it was in the late 90s, and I was the only, I just called myself a spiritual life coach, which I am, you know, psychic channel and medium, and then I've got, you know, other types of training as well. So, but everyone there was at... were business coaches, and that's really where that term came from, life coach, and then if you work spiritually, spiritual integration. And they had done studies, I believe it was with the Blanchard Company, and they do a lot of studies, you know, the trends, where are things going in the corporate world. It was very corporate. I mean, I was the only one that was like metaphysical, spiritual, you know, all of this. And I, it was funny. It was like a huge roundtable event. I don't even remember how I got invited. Oh, I got invited, I think, with one of my a colleague or a client that had been doing work with me. And you know what they had said? That studies were showing that people would have between... 10 to 15 successful careers.
Wow.
Not jobs, careers, yes. And now that I look at the soul alignment, where it makes so much sense, because the soul is about creativity, self-expression. The soul is, it's our personality, us here in this physical form, is a physical form of the soul. So we're here to manifest our uniqueness. So many of you are going to do a lot of different things, and maybe even things that are not just jobs, you know, or position, but actual bona fide careers, either at the same time, or one for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then something else in the next 5 years, something else in the next 2 years, you know. So what I would say to everyone is know that you're a spiritual being. So the question of who you are is answered, and how you express that in as many different ways. The other thing I would say to you, Blair, is I found, because I lived in Europe and I've traveled extensively, even in the, you know, not just Europe, but Far East, we're the only culture over here in the States that is obsessed with what people do. Other places
I
don't even
it.
Ask. You could know. Do you? Yeah. I've traveled places and lived places that I was there 2-3 months hanging out with people, going out, doing stuff, and they never asked me what I did until about, you know, two months into our relationship or 3 months. Like, what do you do anyway? Or what do you – so what I feel for around you, I feel – now, you see, you do have a kind of a multi – because I feel like writing around you. I feel you're very creative. Is that true? Is that how you feel
yeah.
that?
Yes, that is very true. Like, I'm working on a book, and then I'm revamping my blog. So, like, I'm trying to keep my creativity flowing, but...
But you are. So, you know, I had people, especially when I had my television show, and then I was also, you know, and I was a model, and I had a show called Fashion and Beauty that I was hosting, and then I was doing charity work, and then I'm also a psychic channel and medium and a healer. And I had people saying, oh, isn't that kind of confusing? And I'm like, no, not at all. Not to me. I'm doing the same thing. I'm communicating the higher self in various ways, various means. So if it confuses other people, that's for them, Blair. But I do see you doing more of your writing, sharing your take on life. And I would just keep to that. You might end up... It might be a little bit for you. It might be a Nick year, you know, that I feel like you could be making some decisions about maybe focusing on one maybe more than the other. But I definitely see you more multi-talented, more multifaceted.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm like the jack of all trades, master of none. So it's like, what am I doing right now?
But see, that again, see, that's a limiting approach, and
right.
that was a marketing strategy in the 50s to get people to kind of funnel in on stuff. You know, if you go back in, you know, hundreds of years, a thousand a year ago, people did various things. You know, a doctor would study medicine, but also was an astrologer, was a philosopher. And studied psychology, you know, so, and maybe the fine arts, maybe literature, that's what, you know, so that, and coming from that place, having a lot of skill set and have made actually money in a lot of different ways in the world. So I would say instead of master yourself.
Right.
Master your own individuality and keep your creative flow going, even if others don't understand. That is what an artist is. I mean, you know, many people poo-pooed artists that you know, they did painting, but then maybe they did photography or they did sculpting. So I think for you, you're going to have to get comfortable with that because I don't see that changing. I in fact, I do see photography. Maybe that's even around your blog.
Yeah, I do that too.
And cool. Okay, what I want to say to you, might give you a focal point, is chronicle your awakening. Chronicle almost like a day in a life of. Chronicle your observations, what you're going through yourself, your own self-discovery, and what you see with others. And I do feel that you can impact people, help people, uplift people, awaken people to their own creativity. Because
okay.
I feel when people say, why do you do so many things, or what do you really do? I feel that it's a button for them. You being an individual and expressing in multi-forms triggers them. It gets them uncertain because somewhere they want to do something else, either other than what they're doing, or they want to do a few things, and they've bought into that more mainstream or race consciousness that says that you can only do one thing and do one thing well, and that's just not true.
Right.
I mean, you can look at a lot of, you know, current artists, you know, actors, musicians, painters, writers, some of them are directors, and they're multi-talented, multifaceted. So that is the way that the world is going. So if you're already ahead of the curve, then celebrate that and find others that can understand that and reinforce and celebrate that with you.
Okay. That sounds good
okay.
to me.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Much peace. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we do have Pam on the line. Hi, welcome
to
the program, Pam.
Hi,
great. Thank you for, I talked briefly, I mentioned the GMO-free World Day of Action. Those of you that are just tuning in, we have Pam Larry on the line, and she is going to be speaking at the GMO-free World Day of Action, which is this Saturday, February 9th at the Santa Monica Pier. Of course, that's in California, for those of you who are local, and that's at 11 a.m. Pam, can you share a bit of what is actually, what's going on, and what does this mean, this approval of genetically engineered salmon?
So there, I worked on, I don't know how many of you heard of Proposition 37 in California to label genetically engineered foods, and I started that movement in 2011. And since then, it's just exploded. Even though we didn't quite make it at the ballot box due to a very interesting and devious sort of campaign by the opposition, we became very, very close and kind of shocked both the industry and politicians around the country. So that was very exciting. And we have spawned a movement of 37 other states that are now working on labeling in various ways and stages and at minimum reaching out and educating people about what genetically engineered foods are, because most of us don't know. So the next thing that is up for getting on our market, the FDA just gave a green light for genetically engineered salmon. And a lot of people don't really understand that genetically engineered stuff is stuff that's created in a lab. It's not like a regular hybrid that's been going on forever and ever. And for instance,
it's like test tube salmon. It's not
right. So what they do with
not
this?
Not from okay.
No, it's not. What they do with this salmon, with this product, is they take an Atlantic salmon, and then they take a gene from a Chinook salmon. So different kind of species, but I mean same kind of. It's a salmon, but different kind of salmon, which is, you know, it's the process that's kind of odd. Is they extract the gene from the Chinook salmon that increases a hormone that causes increased growth. So it's a growth hormone. Then they take genes from an ocean pout, which is actually an eel, and that turns that hormone switch on all the time, so that the salmon, the Atlantic salmon, has those two new genes in it, and so grows like 2 to 3 times the regular size that it would. And these are going to be in our grocery stores without any kind of labeling or awareness on the part of consumers unless we act now. And one of the things that people can do is to go to the FDA website and, you know, make a comment. You can get there easily through the centerforfoodsafety.org is the organization that you can sign a petition and get to the FDA quickly, get word to the FDA quickly and easily. Sometimes if you go to the FDA site itself, it's a little confusing, so that's an easy place to send people, centerforfoodsafety.org. And then we're also having some rallies around the country. We have, I guess, 5 of them planned. There's one in Los Angeles, one in San Francisco, and then a couple other places on Facebook if you go there to Global Days of Action.
What is it, Global Days of Action?
GMO-free World Global Days of Action. And you'll see, there's one in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Alaska, Chicago, and New Jersey. So they're all listed on there. We also have more information if people want to contact. This is particularly disconcerting to some of our Jewish volunteers and friends because eel is not kosher. And so many people are concerned, you know, it's up for debate in the Jewish tradition as to whether genetically engineered stuff itself is kosher or not.
It's kosher,
But definitely people are concerned about this one because it contains the eel, the eel gene, if nothing else. So anyway, there's information. We are labelgmos.org is the website for people to go to if you want to get involved. We are working on stuff here in California still. I'm speaking tonight in Redlands, and then tomorrow night in Riverside. We're rebuilding our groups, and getting ready for more action, either legislation or another ballot initiative, either 2014 or 16, most likely 14. We're letting the industry know that we're not backing down, that we have the right to know
Good.
What's in our foods, and we need everybody's help, so please
mm-hmm.
join us.
Okay, that sounds great. And so especially I don't understand how this got through, especially with all the research that has been done in a lot of the European countries and laws against genetically modified food. So it's kind of disconcerting how, because there is information out there, there is research that it is detrimental health-wise.
There is some of that, and then, you know, industry-funded science will tell you that everything's very, very safe. And one of the things that
right,
we've noticed since Prop 37 is they're really amping that message up. So our basic message is that we believe the science that we've seen that says there are a lot of questions, and until we know for sure, we have a right to know what we're eating.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, Pam, now just to recap, just so for our listeners, we do have a large local base, but we have a very large international national base as well. So I think the Facebook page, people can go, if you're not local, you can go to labelgmos.org, and then on Facebook, Pam, what is the page that people can go to for more information?
Well, for these days of action, it would be GMO-Free World Global Days of Action.
Okay, perfect. Wonderful. And then those of you that are here locally, and that could even be San Francisco, San Diego, wherever that is, this Saturday, February 9th, there will be an action rally at the Santa Monica Pier at 11 a.m., and that's GMO-Free World Day of Action at the Santa Monica Pier this Saturday at 11 a.m. Thanks so much, Pam, for coming on Awakenings and awakening us to this fact of what's going on and what people can do.
You bet, and thanks for helping us spread the word. You take care.
Yep, and thank you, Diane Lerner, also, for letting us know about you. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Okay, so one way to keep awake is definitely by food. You know, food is, I'm a foodie. It's yummy, tasty, but it is also a chemical, right? A food, there's a chemical change or chemical process that happens with whatever we ingest. So we really want to make sure we're ingesting what's the most life-enhancing. Okay, for callers, for readings, to chat, to say hello, you can call in at 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know you'd like a reading or to chat. Hello, 780-971, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
I'm just kind of like the previous caller there, where I'm just kind of in limbo with my career. Right now I am, we're just working at home, doing bookkeeping, and I was wondering if what I would really like to do is get into healing of some sort.
Start.
And I was just if you could tell me a bit about that.
Okay, let's see. Well, I'm going to mention to you as well, and I heard it from the guy, start, and from your higher self, and now as I tune in, I'm getting, for you, it is a start to initiate. I think one of the best ways to initiate as a healer, because, you know, there's a metaphysical axiom that as the healer heals himself, they heal each other, others. And as the healer's healing others, they heal themselves. So when you're a healer, I feel it's a lifelong process of also healing yourself, focusing on yourself, becoming clearer and clearer. So I do feel for you, Brenda, that I feel you're going to do both. And let light in. Where you're doing your work, is it darker, or do you keep the window? Are you keeping the shades closed more?
I have a window right in my office, it is kind of. I'm way up north, so.
Oh, that's why. Okay, because I'm getting it.
They're kind of in overcast right now.
Okay, because it looks, you know, like cabiny dark. You know, kind of, yeah, very winter. So you, one thing I feel for you, and maybe it's those light lamps, or to work even with infrared, is you need more light. You need more light in your place, and if it tends to get really dark because of weather, I would suggest getting some kind of lamp that brings more light in, or even they're telling me working with infrared light, or you can get a large, even what would help is a Himalayan salt crystal.
Oh,
and
yes,
I want you to keep
yes.
it keep it by your computer, okay?
Oh.
You need one in the office and one either in the bedroom or the living room to balance it out. You can feel out which one's best, but for sure in the office because you're spending a lot of time there.
Okay.
I would say right now your own healing, you're needing to do that. I feel, you know, I do feel you're quite I think what's going to happen, I feel you're going to do some kind of either Reiki or go, I would say for you now to go receive it or go, you know, pranic energy healing. Just start taking some workshops or some classes. I feel that's what's going to happen is you're going to get startled, like, oh, my God, how did I know this? I feel that you do have a strong intuition or psychic self, but you need the light to bring it out. There's some biochemical something that's happening that's kind of blocking you, almost like a depression, a depressing the energy, holding the energy down. But you will, I feel, do some energetic, intuitive healing work. I can even see you like putting your hands around somebody's shoulders. And you may even be able to do it on phone or at a distance as well if you want to. But it's up to you right now to reach out. It's up to you to stretch out right now. So
okay.
Go find it. Reach out, and that's going to be the catalyst, the turning point. Okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wanting to take Theta healing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, probably later when the roads are good.
Well, do this. Yeah, when the road. Yeah, see that. Yeah, do it. Or there's things online. You know, my keep in touch with me. I've got my SoulPath, which actually that would be great for you. The it's a tele workshop, so it's by phone.
Okay.
You know, cell phone. You can call in via Skype. We have another one Saturday, the end of the month, Saturday, February 23rd, and that's going to be on navigating the shift, universal laws. But we do energetic work there. We work with the subtle energy. So
okay.
You do tap into yourself and each other energetically. You start getting in touch with more the subtle self, the subtle bodies. You can find out information, I believe, is on the Awakenings page, or it will be soon. For sure the week of, or you can go to navigate, let's see, I'm going to put in the chat, navigate the shift one, and that's like number one, .eventbrite.com, and that's event and then bright, B-R-I-T-E. So navigate the shift one, eventbrite.com. That's one of the reasons that I'm doing, I do a lot of in-person groups, but I'm also doing the teleworkshops and soul path groups is to support people like you that are locked in the snow. The roads are bad.
Life.
That way you can keep moving on your path. We have people call in. We had Australia, New Zealand, England, Milan, Italy, San Diego,
okay.
Local, you know, Granada Hills, but, yeah, so in New York, so, yeah, think about that. That, I feel, is something that could support you, and that's my intention, is to support people as much as I can to their next level of awakening and unfoldment, so, which for a lot of people it is learning the new way of being with a new paradigm, helping to co-create that, and then extending out into the world with your gifts, with your soul purpose, so... Keep us posted, Brendan. Hope to see you in the TeleSoulPath group.
I just had one other question, not about a reading, but about something you had mentioned on one of your previous shows about, and I was kind of curious to hear more about it, was talking about people not being on their right path.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Very like
important.
Is that, I guess, how you would know is if it just doesn't feel right. Or,
yeah,
I just wanted
on a deeper level, I mean, you know, it's very interesting. I think people kind of take the bliss money or the poppy pill, but, you know, we are living in a universe of polarities, and part of the ascension is balancing those out. So if you can be on the right path, you can also be on the wrong path. Some people kind of take a little glib view and say, well, if it's right, it's right. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Well, no, that's kind of like saying if you're dangerously obese and your doctor says, please don't eat 5 hamburgers a day, and you go, whatever's meant to be is meant to be, and you keep eating those 5 hamburgers, you know, and then you die of a heart attack, you know. So our world, we're very simple, but the world is very complex. So that's why emotional clearing, handling yourself psychologically, you know, all that inner child work, family of origin, getting your filters as clear as possible to really see, because we can fool ourselves and also others can fool us. So it's not so black and white, you know, it's there are a lot of shades of gray or shades of the rainbow, right? So it takes wisdom to know, am I on the wrong path or track, or is this a learning curve, a learning lesson, or is this just part of this world where it takes persistent effort and I need to keep course? And so the more people are in great mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual health, the more they can see that. But I have definitely seen, I've been on the wrong path. Did it once and I won't do it again. The consequences were quite severe. But I knew. My higher self was telling me, no. Sometimes, I'll be honest, especially now, Brenda and everyone else that's listening, when you have a lot of blocks. This is going to happen more now because we are more on the soul path, the path of soul alignment, where the prevailing trend and force of the universe wants more what's of a soul level and not of an egoic level. So things that right now and in the coming years, you might, if a better way is being created, you might more likely be blocked until that way is created or if you are on the wrong path. But that's at a certain level of consciousness. I, and it's not a 1, 2, 3, 4 level or 5, 6, 7 level. It's, but yes, it's definitely possible to be on the wrong path or wrong track. And definitely, you know, able to get on that path. One of my teachers used to say, sometimes you have to go all the way to a dead end to know it's a dead end, you know, or a cul-de-sac, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it goes back to the more you know yourself, your true self, the more you know, am I off just a little or am I off a lot? And in the old paradigm, a lot of people were living off path. They had impulses, urges, divine tickles. They had excitement for a certain direction, but said, no, I can't do it because of money. I can't do it because, you know, I won't have great health care. Or what about, I won't have a retirement. So a lot of people took jobs that they did not like or even lifestyles that they did not really, weren't fulfilling to them just to be safe. You know, and that's part of the Grand Awakening right now, Pluto and Capricorn. That's being very much disrupted, and you'll see it further disrupted when Pluto goes into Aquarius. That kind of was a little lower dimensional or lower octave man-made focus. I call it, we were living in the old paradigm. A lot of the living was learning what it wasn't. Now we're learning what it is, what feels right, what feels life-enhancing, and going with that. The last paradigm, there was a lot about self-sacrifice. I have to sacrifice. I have to do without for the sake of my family or the sake of religion. You know, in other words, I really want this. This is life-enhancing. This is fulfilling to me. This is love, but I have to do the other. Because, so it was looked at as like to sacrifice, to denigrate, to put down. That now you're, you know, you know, now you're really, I don't know who you're doing it to. Service to a God that does not exist, a God that says if you're unhappy and you're sacrificing, that's good. So that's shifting now. Makes sense?
Yeah. You had mentioned it because, like you said, like everybody, you hear so many teachers saying, well, you can't be on the wrong path. You know, you're supposed to be experiencing or whatever. But.
No, and you know, that's very interesting. A lot of, and I'm not the only one, so I'm going to say this very humbly, but a lot of what I teach is a really advanced metaphysics, advanced work, advanced information. A lot of what's out there is just rehashed stuff from the main religions, and the main religions coming, because they'll have their awakening as well, all forms will, but the main religions of the Piscean era, where there was a lot of the victim abuse, the extremes of the polarity, and it's just not true. If you can say there's a right path, then there's also a wrong path. If you can say you're on track, you can also be off track. I find, as I studied, and I had very, very, very great teachers, metaphysically, you know, psychologically, a lot of, you know, the different realms, spiritually, that when I look back, a lot of it, what the deeper concepts metaphysically and from esoteric studies are common sense. Even when you get into the higher levels of quantum physics or string theory, it's common sense. Especially if you've been living a life as a medium or a channel and aware of other dimensions or other realms, it just makes it so much is common sense. So I ask everybody, you know, when you have your BS meter on, ask yourself, does this make common sense? In other words, if I'm on track, I'm on path, and everything is for the good. We do live in a world of polarity, so there has to be the opposite. And until we embrace the opposite, we don't ascend. That's what's got us in this mess of unhandled, unhealed stuff, is people don't want to embrace the opposite. There's a great... Matthew Fox has a great book on this. He started a movement, Creation-Centered Spirituality. He's a Dominican, I believe, Dominican priest. So controversial that they can't defrock him, but he's kind of shunned in the, you know, Catholic and Dominican realm. And he writes about this, that somewhere in the turn of the century, we stopped embracing the shadow, that we only want to focus on the positive. And he calls it, there's four paths, that there's the via negativa, the via positiva, the via creativa, and the via transformativa. So there's these pathways. And we stay stuck in the positiva. But the negativa, which is the void, it's the depression, it's the going deep within. Until we can embrace the negative, the void, alchemically, metaphysically, the negrida, the darkness. We don't get to the creative aspect, and then we don't get to the true transformation. So that's for everybody. Ask yourself, if somebody is giving you one side, you have to say, well, where's the other side? There's two sides here. And there's actually many sides. There's many planes of polarity that make up the Merkaba or the light body. But everything has its polar opposite. And so we're learning to be more in the center point. But we can't be in the center point until we embrace the shadow, whether it's the negative shadow or the positive shadow, the positive projection, and the negative projection. So really, thank you for bringing it up, Brenda, because that's a button for me. Because...
it's interesting, you know, because there has to be an opposite.
Yeah. And if people have studied psychology, then they will know. There's a wonderful Clara Estes Pincolas has some wonderful books out, one of my faves, Women Who Run With the Wolves. But she talks about that the positive projection out there and the negative projection, and also that we don't live just by projection, but we live by perception. The thing is, we can't get into intuitive psychic perception or even telepathy until we clear our projections. So we live in the world not just by projection. That's another misnomer out there that a lot of teachers espouse, is that everything is a projection. That's not true. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to read people psychically, because I read for people that I have, you know, maybe in the place of oneness we have some overlaps. But to read somebody psychically, clearly, you have to move out of projection. You have to move into perception. So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, thanks a lot, Michelle.
You are so welcome. Really... Thanks for inspiring that. Blessings.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Ooh, wonderful, wonderful start there. Yes. Divine Mystic in the saying, running from the shadows only makes it grow bigger and more scary. Yeah. The gifts are in the shadow. Yes. And remember, there's not just the negative shadow, there's the positive. You know, what are you putting on to others that you think you don't have? You know, that they're so talented or gifted. How do you have that? All right. So we've had some wonderful calls. It's time for our Awaken guest, which we have on today, Jonathan Goldman. And Jonathan Goldman is an internationally acclaimed authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. He is the author of Healing Sounds, Shifting Frequencies, The Lost Chord, and the best-selling The Seven Secrets of Sound, and his latest is The Divine Name. He's the winner of the 2011 Visionary Award for the Best Alternative Health Book. Jonathan is also the director of the Sound Healers Association and the president of Spirit Music Incorporated, which is located in Boulder, California, or Colorado. He's also a Grammy nominee, and he's created numerous best-selling award-winning recordings, including The Divine Name, which was with Greg Braden, and Reiki Chants, Frequencies, Sounds of Healing. I want to make a warm welcome to our guest, Jonathan Goldman. Welcome to the program, Jonathan.
What a blessing it is to be here with you, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I think I started to say Colorado because I wish you'd come to California and do some work.
Won't you please come to California? Hey, well,
yeah.
Listen, I used to come to California a lot, and
okay.
I just don't travel as much as I did. The thrill is less in traveling these days, at least for me, until I really get by location down. After that, it'll be like a snap.
Yes, I totally understand. I had a career at one point where I was traveling a lot in... And now, hardly at all. And so once you kind of get out of it, it's kind of cozy not to be in that, you know, planes, trains, automobiles kind of thing.
Well, I mean, it's a unique thing. I mean, I had a good friend who, you know, I could say, well, it's because I've gotten older, and it's certainly, you know, I...
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that I was a member of the Woodstock Nation, which happened in like 1969 or somewhere around that. And so you can guess my age at being over 60. But I think that traveling was never really a huge thrill for me, and now less so than ever. Perhaps it's, you know, and so once again, it might be getting older, or it simply might be the fact that... it isn't as thrilling as it used to be also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, how do you, when you're doing your projects, is a lot of it on, you know, online, or do people come to your studio? How does that work, some of the projects?
I mean, this is so interesting. I am, even before, I mean, now I want to go back to the 1980s when I founded the Sound Healers. And I founded this thing called the Sound Healers Association back in 1982. And I literally had some of the great masters of sound from the spiritual and scientific traditions would come to me and, you know, give presentations for free to these group of people in the, you know, New England area. But I've always had, if you like, I've oftentimes, shall we say, had the opportunity of, you know, people that I really need to meet somehow being in the vicinity where I am as opposed to having traveled. I said that, and now I have to take it back because in December my wife and I traveled to Australia to be at an event called the Uplift Festival, where I was initiated a global tone, and also, but really, this was it. I wanted to see the first rays of the new rising sun on December 22nd, and that was the first place on the planet that it hit. And then we went to this huge water ceremony that was happening where the indigenous grandmothers were at, and Kyoto monks, and it was really just a fabulous experience, and I somehow found myself in the right middle of all these thousands of people, and it was very, very wonderful. So, you know, there's something to be said for traveling. I know we're not talking about sound, so let's talk about sound.
No, I love it all, though. It all goes there. So, I guess a twofold question. Have you always been focused on sound and music? And then I also want to know, when did you and how did you open to this awakening to sound as healing?
And two very, very different things. I can remember being a little kid, like basically being fascinated by the piano, could barely reach up, but I would touch the notes on a piano, and I have to tell you, Michelle, for the most part, I'm self-taught. I remember when the Beatles came out, you just couldn't play I Want to Hold Your Hand on a piano, so I, you know, got myself an acoustic guitar. I was a little kid. I was fairly young. I was about 13 or so, and I learned to strum these chords, and then I, you know, took lessons, jazz lessons, and it wasn't the same thing at all. I was like, no. So I'm mostly what they call an autodidact, particularly musically, and that's just, but with regard to when did this, you know, if you like, revelation about that sound could be used for healing, when did that first occur? I wish I could give you the exact date. I can give you the set and setting and say it was somewhere around the late 1970s, and I'm at a seaside bar in Marshfield, Massachusetts, which is on the Cape. And I'm coming back with my band from a break, strap on my guitar, start singing a song, look out at the audience, and all of a sudden I have this revelation, if you like, that the music that I'm creating is helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence. Now, no question, no question, the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people were imbibing and were also doing this. But I realized that music was doing this. Now, mind you, I had been playing professionally since I was about 15 years old. When I was 16 years old, my band opened for the Jefferson Airplane. So, I mean, you know, we had actually been playing in front of large audiences for a long time. And then I went to Boston University, so I also have university degrees, et cetera, et cetera. But I had that revelation after playing for 15 years. And it was almost like the light of God struck me one night, you know, when I was on stage. Here I am, Paul, on the way to, you know, wherever he's going, and he gets struck by the light of God, and there's Jonathan going on stage, and all of a sudden he has this revelation. Mm. And it's like, wow. And, you know, and once again, being back in the late 70s, there was not much that was happening in terms of sound as a healing modality. A few CDs, one or two books, that most of them which had been written some years ago, because of course the idea of using sound as a healing modality dates back to the beginning of human consciousness, because people have always used sound and music to make themselves feel better. But why did I have that revelation particularly then? I don't know. And about 2 weeks later, that thought began to shift and change, and it went from, can music be used to make people feel better, to the idea, gee, I wonder if sound could be used to heal people. And I had that thought, and somebody then hands me a flyer for a workshop. It's a workshop in healing with sound by a woman named Sarah Benson, who very few people have ever heard of. But Sarah My book, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, was actually dedicated to her, and I have always called her the Divine Mother of Sound Healing. She, if you like, operates off the angelic planes, and she was not one of these people who really felt it necessary to be really well known. But her footprint, for those who knew her, was remarkably deep and powerful. And so, you know, she basically put me, here we go, here's the scene. She put me in the center of this circle of about 30 people. And I'm holding a fairly large quartz crystal. At the time, it was the first one I'd ever seen. It was definitely a handheld piece. And they chanted my name. These people sang and chanted my name as part of the process. And I was, if you like, transported out of my body into this, I didn't know it at the time, but it was an amethyst pyramid, because it was purple color, and I'm sitting, and I'm in the woods, and this green light is filtering through, which is what the light would actually be if it was amethyst. And then I came back to my body, and I thought, I've got to find out more about this. And since then, my life has really continued to be dedicated to finding out how sound and music can be used for healing, for creating healing music, for creating and writing books about sound, and about teaching people about it. And of course, as you know, you mentioned, I have founded the Sound Healers Association, which is the oldest and largest, if you like, conglomerate of people who work with using sound as a healing modality. And we have our own website, which is healingsounds.com, which is an award-winning website where we give all sorts of information for people about how sound could be used for healing. Because, Michelle, I always say that we, number one, all of us are sound healers, and number two, there isn't a profession or isn't a, if you like, way of living that cannot be enhanced by learning to a little bit more about sound and how sound can heal and transform. A whole lot longer answer than I know you wanted.
No, actually, I did want that. I love these long answers. It's like mining for gold. Because you said something that struck me, where you said you always believe everyone is a sound healer. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Well, Michelle, let me ask you, because you are a psychic, and I am approaching a publisher with a title of a book tomorrow, and one of them might be on the power of humming, called Humming for Help.
Mm-hmm.
Because my latest recording is called Cosmic Hum, and I'm going to talk about this with your audience in a minute. And the other one is called We Are All Sound Healers. Which one do you like better?
I think because the humming can go in the We Are All Sound Healers, I think We Are All Sound Healers just kind of grabs you.
Ah, so you like that one. And I do like Humming for Health, too. It's interesting, and that is one of the aspects of how we are all sound healers. But the reality base is that if you can make a sound, and even if you can't, I've literally had people who were deaf in workshops of mine. They've had powerful and profound experiences. But for example, all right, let's talk about humming for a moment. Just my latest CD is called Cosmic Hum. And let's you and I just make a hum together, just because, hey, I'll tell you in a minute. But we'll just hum, go, okay, and if anybody's listening who wants to hum along, we invite you. We're going to do that again, okay? I don't know how strange that sounded, but that's okay.
Oh, I love it. I'm a hummer. I'm a hummer. So go ahead.
I'm a hummer, right. Here we go.
I'm a hummer.
Okay. I take a breath. That felt really good, and I didn't even actually focus any intention really on doing it. I just wanted to make the sound. But as reality, and you know, I have to tell you that oftentimes I do shows with my wife, and she's got this particular thing that she talks about, the therapeutic aspects of what humming does. And now I'm going to have to sort of channel her, because it's in my latest book, The Divine Name, which is a very important book. But humming and making elongated sounds says all sorts of things, like it oxygenates our cells and our brain. It lowers our blood pressure. It reduces our heartbeat and our breathing. But a couple of things that I think are really fascinating is, number one, it causes the release of melatonin. Now, are you familiar with melatonin? You probably are, yes?
Oh, yes. But that is, you know, I got to interject two things real quick. What about your soundhealers.hummingforhealth?
Ooh, I like that. Thank you. Ha!
Okay, yeah, I love it. And also, I got to tell you, I'm so glad you're talking about humming. I'm not kidding. I am a big hummer, and if I'm feeling off, I start humming. I can hum if I'm feeling, like, happy. I'll start humming things. But even if I'm feeling, like, a little off-centered or something's going on, I will start humming or doing that kind of naturally.
Because people do it naturally. So, all right. You know, I'm part of the book, well, maybe that other people's just experience with humming, because people like to read about that. And I'm going to not put a star next to your name, because you may get a phone call from me going, Michelle, you want to contribute a paragraph about what humming means? All right, let me continue. So you get the release of melatonin, which is, of course, it's wonderful for helping people sleep. It's also been used for treatment of depressions, and it's also actually been experimented on for a treatment of a shrinking tumors. Wow! You get the release of your endorphins, which are your natural opiates, which is another reason why people feel good, and why you can, for example, if you're in pain, you can actually hum and project the hum to that part of the body that's in pain, and you feel better. Another thing that happens is you get the release of nitric oxide. That's not nitrous oxide, which is NO2, which is laughing gas, which is great. But this is NO, nitric oxide. And it was actually declared a few years ago the molecule of the decade. I'm the molecule of the decade, you know. And why is it the molecule? Because it's been really associated with the healing process, and particularly with vascular, it's a vascular dilator, meaning that it brings. I'll be able to speak in a moment. I'm so excited. It brings blood to throughout our blood system. It opens up the vascular pathways and actually brings blood to all parts of the body, which is very, very important. So that's nitric oxide, which is released when that happens. Also, let's see. Oh, when you and I were humming together, we released oxytocin. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know what oxytocin is? Oxytocin,
yeah,
of course.
The bonding.
The trust hormone. So that's that. Among other things, for me, that's one reason why when people sound together, regardless if they're singing in a church or they're just making an om or they're humming, they all those barriers that exist between us all of a sudden disappear. Because, you know, oxytocin is released. And I think that is just... those are just a few of the things that have been scientifically discovered. And I am sure that in the not-too-distant future, they're going to find out a whole lot more about our own self-created sounds, let alone the effects of sound upon our etheric body, the chakras, our nervous system, our brain waves, well, once again, the spiritual body, the emotional body, the mental body. So this is just like right now. And once again, one of the things that's really cool about humming, of course, is that you can be humming and nobody can know it. And yet you'll still have this effect.
So that's singing why. Outlet. So that's amazing. So in a way, I feel like you're talking, it's healing, but self-healing. It's kind of this movement of healing through oneself, kind of unlocking that within. I feel like an unlocking somehow when you're talking.
Totally. Well, from my perspective, it's probably not only from my perspective, but I haven't talked about this one for a while, but oftentimes when energy is blocked, that's when imbalances set in, whether, you know, you perceive it as the frequency of an organ or of a bodily system has somehow jammed up and it's changed its frequency. Well, it's usually because it's blocked. And once again, if you can somehow resonate it with sound, then you indeed unlock it. So that's very, very nice. That's a very, very, you know, very, very nice way of looking at it. And yes, on one level, you know, right now we're talking about personal sound healing. And I think, you know, we're going to be, I trust in the not-too-distant future, talking about using sound as a modality for healing our planet. But it's, you know, there's, of course, an interrelation between the two. We heal the planet, we heal ourselves, we heal ourselves and we heal the planet. And, you know, you were talking about before, you know, I couldn't help but listen in about the shadow self and all this other stuff. And, you know, there's just this interrelationship between all things that we need to really begin to understand. It's that concept. I have to be very careful of this word, because when I say singularity, I mean, you know, being of oneness, but, you know, you find out that singularity has a whole lot of different meanings depending upon who you say it to. So perhaps I'll just call it unity consciousness. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. People get afraid of the even the oneness idea, unity, singularity, all of a sudden, you know, Illuminati's mentioned. People get up thinking, I don't know what it is, that synergy or coming together kind of scares people, like they're going to
I think they think they're going to lose their individuality. And I don't think that's what the whole thing is about at all. We can all be unique. It's, you know, one of the things that is in my book, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, is that we are all unique vibratory beings. And this is very, very, very much a belief system that I have. Now, I wrote that book some years ago because I saw that sound was beginning to take off, that vibrational healing was beginning to take off. And as it was beginning to take off, you'd get people say, well, this is the sound for this, and this is the sound for that, and this is the sound for this, and this is the sound for that. And I like to believe in reality that we are all very, very fluid beings, that fluidity actually may be one of the keys to awakening. Because, you know, the shaft of wood in the strong wind will snap, but the shaft of the piece of wheat will bend with the wind, and, you know, so therefore I like to believe that depending upon who you are, what you are, and that even the time and the space that you are working with, what you've had for breakfast, if you've been in meditation, if you're out jogging, whatever activity, your vibrational rate shifts and changes with these things. Now, this is, of course, just my own, understanding. There are others who say, no, you are locked into this frequency, and you will be in this frequency for not only this life, but for every other life that you have had, will have. And I thought, how boring. Once again, it's okay. I certainly have no problem with people who have that as a belief system. But I like to believe that we can shift our frequencies. And in fact, one of my books is called Shifting Frequencies, because I think that is, if you like, a key to evolution and changing not only physical, but mental, emotional, and spiritual consciousness and vibration.
I tend to agree. I always say that fluidity you talk about, I say what we're like an instrument, that you don't want it too taut, but you don't want it too loose. And we need to go through all these various notes, harmonics, to be played, you know, not to be, so stiff, if you will. Now, you know, what's interesting as you're talking, it's kind of hitting me, this whole idea of fluidity and, you know, our individual sound. We are in the age of resonance, of following what is resonant within us, which, of course, obviously there's some resonance isn't all just harmonic.
Yeah.
There's some discord to make it interesting, right? Where does that fit in with the shifting frequencies, and how does one shift frequency, I guess?
Well, first of all, can I just talk about, you know, when you say we're in the age of resonance, that's good. I'm, you know, I like that a lot. That would be, you know, if you like a, that's cool, the age of resonance. That's nice. I like that
I
very much.
That. It's my
yes,
little,
you did. Okay.
It's my little liberties. I've got
right.
It may or may not be true. I don't know, but it seems like that to me anyway.
Well, it's okay. We can put a TM next to it if you want, or we can just give it to the world, depending upon who's listening.
Oh, no, it's given to the world, but what I'm saying is there's no scientific, you know, study on it that says, you know, that's what it
no,
is.
No, but what I will say is yeah. that now, and what's going to happen in this field for at least 30 years, more and more people are really becoming interested in frequency. And it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Gosh, a week ago, my wife and I did a big signing for the Cosmic Hum at the Boulder Bookstore, and the first question involved frequency. And I said, well, first of all, I think we're all unique vibratory frequencies, so that what works for one person may not necessarily work for another. I think that's, Michelle, I think that's so important to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think really that the next step is not frequency, but frequencies. Make that a plural, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And understand that in order to start working with sacred geometry, or with geometry, or with creating, or what I call the harmonic field effect, I've never called it that before either. That's a brand new
oh,
word.
I like
that's
that.
A,
harmonic
that's
field
great.
Effect. Ooh, I love that.
I'm writing that
the
down
TM.
Right now. Harmonic harmonic field effect. very, very cool. What we need to do is work with two, you need at least two sounds. It's like if you can hold up two fingers and realize that then you know, there's a field that is being generated between the two of them. Now, on a level one sound, yeah, there'll sort of be a spiral, there's something, but between two, and, you know, for example, if I work with two tuning forks that create different sounds, you really can affect that. That's the idea of a chord, if you like. That's, you know, and even if you just make one sound, what happens is that there are these things called harmonics, which are the sounds within sounds that are created whenever a sound is created. The harmonics will actually generate two or more sounds. I have to keep going on this one. So the idea of a harmonic is the idea that whenever a sound is created, it isn't a unique individual sound. It is actually a multitude of sounds that are geometrically related together, and they are called harmonics. Just as you can take a prism and hold it into clear light and it'll break it up into the different colors of the electromagnetic spectrum that were there all the time. So in other words, clear light is full of all these other colors, so that when we make a sound, it's really full of these other sounds that are basically just sound altogether. One of the things that we teach in a workshop, and it's a little recording that I did of the first eight harmonics, and you play them and you can hear them very, very unique and individually, and then I put them together and it's just a tone. So with that in mind, I'm wondering, we have, I sent you a couple of different recordings, and there's something called the crown chakra from Chakra Chance, and I just got the hint that this would be an okay time to play that. What do you think?
Sounds good. Got Chakra Chance 2? Would you like that? Okay.
Correct. Yes, please. And
okay.
This is my wife, Andy, playing harp. It's my dear friend, Sarah Benson, toning. It's me doing vowel sounds. And there are a lot of harmonics just floating in and out. And for those who are listening, and obviously, hopefully, if you're on this, you know, tuned to this, you are listening, see if you can feel the top of your head vibrating as this sound is occurring, because it was designed, the intention, if you like, which is so very, very important. It is you know, some years ago I created this formula, which is frequency plus intent equals healing. So the, you know, so we have the frequency or frequencies together designed from all these different systems to resonate the crown chakra. But also, when I did this, every time I made or worked with these sounds, I, if you like, visualized and felt it vibrating the crown center, which is, I think, why a lot of my recordings, including Chakra Chants, are so effective. So let's see if we can hear this. Just one little caveat. If you happen to be driving a car, do not take your hands off the wheel and keep your eyes upon the road, and you'd be better off probably pulling off while this is on. Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Jonathan Goldman, Chakra Chants.
Almost feel that hitting me immediately, just in terms of
yes.
the energy, the harmonic field effect.
I could feel it, not just the crown, the whole
yeah.
head was just vibrating, just
yeah.
the ears, everything. But
you know, and this is, you know, and I, you know, I was actually not being, you know, I have a sense of humor, but when I was saying to people, like, you know, keep your eyes on the road, if you happen to somehow be listening to this, you know, this is powerful, and I really feel a responsibility so that, you know, there's a, you know, a warning on the back of the eye, you know, of almost all my albums, which says do not use, when, you know, of driving a car or operating heavy machinery. Now, with that said, Michelle, and talking about the uniqueness of all mm-hmm. beings, some years ago I created a recording called Angel of Sound. And the way I can tell about the efficacy of this, the efficientness of this particular CD, is I use it as an initiation for my workshops. And how long after the recording is over, how long it takes people to sort of stir from whatever state of consciousness they are in until they're actually able to sit up and move, lets me know, you know, what the workshop is like. And oftentimes it's radically powerful. It takes 5-10 minutes to get, you know, a group of people to, you know, back into their bodies. So with that said, the very first person who ever bought a copy of this, and they bought it as a cassette, which is dating this recording, but just because it's old doesn't mean it's not good.
Okay.
I still love Sgt. Pepper's, okay? And the first guy who bought it was a truck driver who was driving from Maine to San Francisco. And I was somewhere, and he happened to buy a copy. And I said, well, you know, best of luck, best of travels. And I saw him a year later. I said, hey, you know, you were the first person who ever bought Angel of Sound. How, you know, did you like it? He said, oh, it was incredible. He said, I listened to it nonstop on my cassette player when I drove back and forth from the east to the west coast for about a month. And my mouth dropped open. I said, you're not supposed to listen to it when you're driving. And he looked at me, shrugged his shoulders, and says, works for me.
I can attest to that. Why so, not? You know,
I mean, so I was like, okay, you know. It's like, you know, it's like we are all unique vibratory beings.
Got a couple of questions, couple of questions in the chat, Jonathan. And also anyone else, if you're on, if some listeners listening by phone, if you do want to call in for a question, go ahead and press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know that you have a question or a comment. Those of you that are listening, if you do want to call in, the number is 347-539-5122, pressing 1 on the keypad. So Monopoly in the chat is asking, is that Chakra Chance 2? Is that the name?
That's the actual name, Chakra Chance 2. I did it as a follow-up to my award-winning, best-selling Chakra Chance 1, which is also a brilliant recording. That was Chakra Chance 2, which I love as much. And I'm not a name dropper, but one time a friend of mine came back from New York and brought me a magazine and had basically an article on Alanis Morissette, who is a singer. And it was her secrets for travel, and one of the things that she had as her like top secrets of travel was that it was Chakra Chance 1 and Chakra Chance 2. And I thought, that's so cool. I'd love to be able to get in touch with her. Say, I really like you too, but I, you know, and you know, I guess we travel in different realms because I've not been able to get in touch with her. But there is a Chakra Chance 1 and a Chakra Chance 2.
Oh, well, she's friends with my neighbor.
Oh, really?
If
okay.
If I remember, I'll mention. Okay, and
then
Veronica.
That would be hilarious.
I know, it would be. I know, what a synchronicity, right?
Yeah, 3 degrees of separation.
The hand symbols, Tingsha's, you have on the site, she's wanting to get some. I have a question. I'm in the market for some. Oh, why should I buy his? That's a good question, Veronica. Why not?
Because I'm a very nice. Because I'm a very nice person. I'd like.
There you
look,
go.
You know, if I was someone else, I would say because I put my magic spiritual sound healing mojo on everything that is associated with me, and therefore, when you get it, you will be getting something that is very different than if you were to buy it from Amazon.com. That may be true, or it may not be true, because I am not allowed to say it, even if it were true.
But you could go by the frequency plus intent. So there's maybe an intent. And then she's saying, woohoo, got to have the mojo. Right.
Got to have the mojo. And also as a reality, not, you know, I mean, we stand by all of our products, including obviously my CDs. And, you know, the Tingshas, that's what they're called, are hand-selected by me. And we get them from a very wonderful source. So, you know, if you want to get them from us, fine, you could. Possibly, we try to be, you know, and if not, that's okay, too. Come to the website because there's lots of really cool things on there, including a free download that you can get. If you haven't gotten it, it's a free 7-minute chakra download. And also, you should go to the website that is linked on there called World Sound Healing Day, where you can get a free download of this it's actually a 10-minute recording that I call the Ah Training Wave because, Michelle, this February 14th marks the 11th World Sound Healing Day. And this is a day when people throughout the planet literally sound an ah sound, which a lot of a lot of traditions find that the ah is the sound of the heart. In fact, if we were just you and I to sit here and ask the audience to join us and go ah, or just whatever ah, you can feel that you can feel that, you know, in the word mama or Papa or
Ama.
You know, like, you know, or
Ama.
Ama or Saraswati, yeah. Buddha, Krishna, they all have that ah sound in it. So, I have people make the ah sound, or I ask people to make the ah sound, and so I do want to talk more about that, but I also want to suggest that there's a really neat, what I did was, for the first 5 minutes, I actually lead people in a guided meditation that creates an entrainment between the heart and the brain, a synchronization in what they call heart-brain coherence, which actually amplifies our electromagnetic field.
Jonathan, we have just seconds. We got to have you back on. That's just
Are we almost done?
It.
Oh, my God. I thought we had an hour. Oh, by gosh,
no,
by golly.
And, yeah, but I do want to let our listeners know, do you have an upcoming workshop? I mean, I know they can go to healingsounds.com. There's a lot of information.
Yeah.
I've just got some Twitter questions and feedback about are there any workshops coming up, and if so, where?
Okay, well, once again, they will be on the Healing Sounds website, but the really coolest, bestest thing is we do a 9-day training that I promise you will change your life. It's called the Healing Sounds Intensive, and we have people from throughout the planet who come to this. Yeah, I'm going to be teaching at Omega and a couple other places. I'm not traveling as much because I find that people come to us, and this just...
Okay.
I come from a planet where you can't lie, and I am telling you that these people tell us that the Healing Sounds Intensive is the single most transformative experience that they've ever had. So I just give thanks for that. And
okay.
I give
and where,
thanks
where,
to you.
The Healing Sound Intensive, when is that?
That's in July, and we're coming up on the 18th Healing Sounds Intensive, and it's just a mind-boggling thing. If you go to our homepage of healingsounds.com, there's a picture of like Shiva or something like that, a rainbow-colored one. You click on it, and it'll take you there. And
beautiful.
World Sound Healing Day. World Sound Healing Day. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that, because we basically have the ability of waking our planet up. We have our ability of basically bombarding all the beings on our planet and bring them to a higher level of evolution.
I love that.
This is scientifically shown, and there's a reason why the prayers on our planet are vocalized. It's because prayers are amplified by the power of sound. And finally, I'm going to say we heal ourselves, and we heal the planet. I know I've gone over. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan, for being with us so much. I've really, really enjoyed this. It's been just amazing energy, amazing information. Thanks so much for being on Awakenings Radio.
Just blessings. Thank you again, Michelle.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Blessings. And, of course, our awakened guest today was Jonathan Goldman. You can find out more information about Jonathan and his amazing sound healing workshops, his amazing sound healing CDs, books, as well at healingsounds.com. And also remember, next week, World Sound Healing Day, which is February 14th. Interesting enough, too, I believe it's also February 12th, is Unplug. Global Unplug Day. So we've got two wonderful days in between. You can do some unplugging and meditating, and then on the 14th, connecting in through sound. Awakened listeners, always great to connect with all of you. Again, to keep in touch through awakenings@selfandlight.com. Let us know how your awakening is going, and, of course, on our Facebook page. So until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.